Today's special guest is Lee Westwood.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I'm honoured and delighted.
Golf Weekly, exclusively available on Patreon. Sign up now at otbsports.com/golfweekly.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. New normal, same old football. Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
All right, very happy to say Louise Quinn is with us, regular voice in the show these days, enjoying sunny Florence. Louise, how you doing?
Yeah, good, Joe. Not too bad.
Champions League defeat during the week in Manchester against Manchester City. 3-0 sounds very comprehensive. What was your feel for the game? Was it that kind of a game?
I think we kind of knew it was going to be one of those games where we were going to have to be very, very well organised. They were going to have definitely the majority of the ball, and we were just going to have to then, you know, go off by creating breakaway chances and potentially set pieces. But obviously we started the game off. So I suppose one thing in Italy, the pace isn't what England is like. And City came out of the blocks. And yeah, two goals in 4 minutes from exactly what they do and what they do really well. And we just weren't prepared for it. You know, just kind of, you know, getting us to the end line, the winger taking on one-on-one, dinking it to the back post, and then on the other side, the same, playing a front post, Ellen White. So it really was, it was a disaster of a start, but we really did, you know, settle into it. And I know it's one of those defensive games for us, but like really looking through the video, we were well organized. We, you know, tried to take the chances when they came. There weren't too many. There was, you know, there really was maybe only one clear chance that, you know, really could have scored, that would have made it 2-1 at the time. So it was, a bad start, but then overall we were pretty pleased. And but then obviously, coming to the end, letting in a third just is that kind of, that just let it slip away that little bit, you know. 2-0 is a doable scoreline, you know, to keep it competitive and more competitive. 3 does just make it that little bit tougher. But they were, when you turn to the side and you see Roosevelt and Sam Lewis coming on as substitutes, you're like, what sort of squad is this? Like,
so the tempo they can play at is a real step up for a lot of Italian teams, and certainly Fiorentina.
Yeah, absolutely. It was something that, they kind of weren't, I suppose, expecting as much, or, you know, and it's been, we didn't have, I'm sure the same at City, but not much time to prepare for it and to kind of get that. And it is, and it's just a different way of football here, and playing at that pace isn't the norm. So, you know, a couple of us kind of, you know, knew what was coming, but to still try stop that, or to try, get it across, you know, to the girls that this is going to be real, you know, go for majority of the game. You know, we've got to try keep up and play smart, but, we definitely settled into it. At bits, you think it's that they are taking the foot off the pedal a little bit, but they were still really trying to get through and obviously finish the game off in the first leg. So, just that third goal then just really, was fairly annoyed about that.
So part of you was probably thinking during the game, oh, I remember this kind of pace. I remember this kind of thing. This is vaguely familiar.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose it was just that kind of difference, I suppose, obviously when I played with Arsenal, you know, we're up and we're pressing and we're high, and where this was kind of, obviously a bit of a deeper press. So I was like, this is bringing back memories, or literally, you know, the few months ago we played a 3-5-2 or a 5-3-2, whatever you kind of want it to be. We also did the same against Germany. Just there. So I was just, you know, I was kind of connecting with that and trying to figure out and trying to guide the girls about, you know, how we can kind of approach it and play it. And, obviously just, again, having to mark the likes of Ellen White, like that just, you know, her, she's a class act at the moment, and finishes things on her first touch of the ball, you know, every time. It's a trait of her, but it's so hard to stop.
Well, what can you do? And then the one time you do try and dive in and get on her first touch expecting a shot, of course she'll trap the ball and you look silly.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll slide by her, like, and she'll just be standing on the ball and then just pop in the corner. Yeah. So but that's, again, I really just like loved being back and loved being back in England and Manchester and playing those types of players again. It was just it just felt good to be back.
Are City favourites, are there thereabouts for the Champions League this year?
Like, I really think they are. Like, they've in the last few years, I think they've been in the semi-final twice. I think then the quarterfinals then. And obviously the squad that you see, it's filled with World Cup winners and Player of the Years, you know, like Lucy Bronze and Steph Houghton and stuff. Like, you really can't deny that. But I think they're still trying to suss themselves out a little bit, you know, like, as the fact that they have such a big squad and they have such a talented squad, it's hard to maybe fit them in all the time. Mm. And a new manager. So I would definitely say they're up there, but they still may need that extra edge just from kind of looking at it. But when you see them in the league, they really are a different class. And it'll be really interesting, to kind of, follow the journey. And hopefully, look, we can kind of put it to them again, next week and try and challenge them again a little bit and make it that bit more, difficult for them. But of course, they're definitely up there for, eyeing on to be going first. And it's, from what I hear, it's a big goal of theirs to do it this year. So yeah, they're gonna be going for it.
And in these COVID times, are they playing those matches on the training complex somewhere? Because I know they've like a gazillion pitches and mini stadiums there. Is that where it was?
But it was the same pitch that they always play on. So in the Academy Stadium and everything.
It's meant to be amazing.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. I've been on some of the training pitches and then obviously played on that Academy, in the Academy Stadium, and the, everything, even the locker rooms are, everything is top class, and obviously all on site. The restaurant over the other side of the pitch, so obviously all of that was kind of closed off and stuff. But yeah, it's really something else. And all the Astro pitches, and you see, and it's really going from the young Academy players up to the top. And it's just an unbelievable facility, really state-of-the-art stuff.
Are many Italian teams trying to play a high-pressing game or a high-tempo game, or is that typical Italian, traditional style that we'd all have in our minds? Is that just, for whatever reason, culturally, who knows why, is that still very much in vogue?
Yeah, definitely. It does get mixed up a little bit. It's in various teams, and I suppose the same with us. It does depend who your opponents are. But I think it could be something that's can be a bit more, I don't know, structured. I think sometimes when you do press, it's like, just go and press. And it's like, but how are we going to press? Mm. Should we send them one way? Is one of the defenders, do they have a weaker foot? Do they have, someone who doesn't like pressure? Is the other defender really good at getting out of pressure? So it's not as, I feel sometimes not as structured. But we've definitely faced a couple of teams this year that have pressed. But mostly, we play from the back almost all the time. So, there's an element of it where they maybe give you the first couple of passes and then begin the press.
Hmm. How are things going domestically?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. We had a bad result there last week, and a game we were really fully in control of, and it was a derby game, so it was against Florencia, so the team that Steph would have played for a couple of years. We were really in control of it in the first half, especially, and just couldn't really put away the chances, and then they literally, two chances, two goals for them. So it's really been kind of a mixed league for us, and you don't like to use it as an excuse, but we are really, really low on players at the moment. You know, right. we got, you know, three long-term injuries, or sorry, four long-term injuries, three that had COVID and two that had like long COVID, and then
the fatigue, like, and all that stuff.
When they had to get the heart test done, they were showing some irregularities.
Wow.
But thankfully they're just back training. But it took, that was just before, or just after Christmas. So they've been waiting months, you know, to get going, almost 3 months. And then a couple of transfers and a couple of loans, and yes, and now our squad is pretty stripped. So, so we're trying to fight through it and get through it. And that's, you know, it happens to a lot of teams during the season, but we've been, you know, hit with a hard, and so that's why I really still even feel like the game yesterday, we actually, everyone, you know, brought their game. No one stepped away. No one shied away from it. And for me, then that's the most important thing. You know, they stepped up to the Champions League challenge against a team like City. And yeah, you know, it could have been, if the game ended 2-0, in that you kind of would have been, you know, really quite happy. And then for them to come back to Florence, you know, and take us on here. So so a real mixed bag, but we're adapting, you know, as best we can.
Even in non-COVID times, Champions League, men, women, teams tend to fly back from those away fixtures the night of the game. That always, or often do if they can, and they're getting home at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. That always strikes me as, should we not just go to a hotel if there's budget to do it and just fall asleep and fly home tomorrow at 10 a.m.? Maybe players say they can't sleep after evening match, the adrenaline and everything, but like, I always think it's mad hearing like teams playing in Russia and getting back at 5 a.m. They've been up all night. Why? Like, I know you guys flew back after the match and you probably don't get a good night's sleep. Are you a fan of let's just get out of here and get home to our own bed whenever whatever time it is, or what's your thought on that?
I think for me, it totally depends on the time of the game then, definitely. So because this was, like a slightly later kickoff, and then the hour difference, it was still actually, it was a kickoff, 4:45 our time. But then, the hour difference just changed, because we did the same when we went to Prague, but it worked out quite well, because also Florence Airport is closed at the moment. So when we came back from Prague, we just flew straight into Florence, 15-20 minute bus journey home. Whereas then we had to fly into Bologna, which is then an hour and 20 minutes. And so everything was just racking up, you know what I mean? Like, and then there was none of that kind of like time difference and all of that. So last night I would have preferred just to go back to the hotel, pan out, and just, get a good sleep, or at least then, or at least try to at least be in my bed by as soon as possible. And then sometimes it's nice to get out, but feeling it.
I would think you are. I remember we spoke a couple of months ago and you're settling in and you were making the point that, you know, cliches and all that, but players that bit quicker to hit the deck, or maybe they were kind of more nimble strikers and you were having to become a bit more precise in your tackling, I think was the phrase you used. Are you now fully adept at nipping in there and not getting easy frees against you, or how's that going?
Yeah, it's getting there. I haven't had any cards since, so that's okay. Good. Yeah, not even the yellow, I don't think. So I'm definitely adapting. I can feel myself already that I've settled in, especially like this second half of the season. Just kind of before the Christmas break, a few weeks before the Christmas break, and now I've felt really settled, and that I can read the game a lot more here.
Right.
And then obviously just kind of, it's taken a while for the back line to kind of come together and figure out our line and this, that, and the other. So that's that's come together now, and I definitely feel more comfortable and confident. And you know, in general here, they always want you to step to the forward, but I know that's not a massive strength of mine, like, because I know how to kind of read it a bit differently. So I found now like a good mix, and I really need to step here, even though maybe I wouldn't, and I've kind of figured that out now. Okay, yeah, that's actually a good time to do it, or no, this is better not to do it. So it's we're finding our way.
Yeah. Would you have an interest in going into coaching down the line, like an experience like this? And you've obviously played in Sweden and you've sampled football in lots of different places. You've got to think that's a good ground in a good education. Do you think about all that stuff? Am I bringing up something terrible to bring up retirement in many, many, many years ahead?
No, it's definitely something you have to think about. But it's something I'm not sure about. You know, I've done a bit of coaching in the past, and you know, it hasn't given me that sort of, you know, buzz as of yet. But I am doing my UEFA B badge, and you know, I want to still kind of have that backup, and you know, I feel like I have definitely some knowledge and experience, and I really do like talking about the game and giving my, you know, giving my kind of sense in. But at the moment I'm not sure, but kind of for me everything is open, and for me it's important to, you know, to get those badges, and or even as I've done some analysis and you know, of games, I think it's really important to know the game more. And I think even myself, I'm kind of, it gives you as a player when you're going through, you're like, okay, this is kind of the reason for, like, you know, for that drill. It kind of breaks things down more simply, or you then look at a drill and you're kind of like, right, what's maybe the coach's idea behind this? Because I think especially something for female footballers, we like to know what we're doing and why we're doing it. Not to question things or not to be, you know, upfront about it, but we just want to know. And then if we get an answer, yeah, perfect. That's great. Like, I'll do that for you, like 100%. But just kind of having that knowledge, I think then you get a real, like, better understanding then of how kind of, you know, female footballers then see the game.
Right, interesting. It's funny, all that stuff. I know, like, even I know in rugby, for instance, Warren Gatland, who coached Ireland and then coached Wales, and has coached the Lions, so he's had the English and the Scots in there as well. He said, the Irish players want to know why we're doing everything. You know, a lot of thoughts, a lot of questions. What's the logic? Whereas maybe there's a degree with the Welsh lads of, like, do this. Okay.
Yeah.
Who knows why?
I don't know. Like, maybe it's just built up. Like, yeah. No, I don't know. Just maybe some of the coaching they've maybe had before, and they want them to be proactive in asking the questions, you know.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's responsibility. I think you kind of, and you see that then a lot with the Irish lads. There's a lot of leaders, you know, when it comes to kind of some of the, like, the Lions teams as well. Like, there's a
good record of captains. Yeah. So, have you at the end of this season, is that your contract up, or is it a 2 or 3 year deal, or is it year by year? We'll see how it goes. Where are you? Because I mean, I look, the Arsenal thing, football is changes in an instant, doesn't it? So, how much security do you have at the moment?
Yeah, so it's I basically went for kind of a one plus one. So basically it just goes into discussions again.
Okay.
You know, if you want to stay in. And that was kind of one of those decisions, I suppose, a little bit based on COVID as well, kind of, you know, and not just really not knowing what was going to happen. And you know, even if the league would go ahead, because technically the Italian league it's still an amateur league. So, you know, so if there was something again really badly hit, you know, as what's happening in Scotland and in Ireland, or, well, maybe not yet, but just like delays, or they'll just kind of put a pause to it, or, you know, what's happening in the GAA and stuff like that. So I think for me then that was just a more comfortable thing to be like, yeah, I'm, you know, I'll be absolutely open to discussions, but when the time comes, but let's just see where the world is, and, you know, and see where I am. So, and the club, obviously, yeah, we came to an agreement on that. So,
okay, great. Yeah. I guess how much security does anyone have right now, I suppose, is another point. So when you say an amateur league, is there a high percentage of the players who are also working as well, or how does all that break down?
Well, so at the moment, there wouldn't be so many that are, like, working. There'll be some maybe still going to school, some kind of, university, but it's mainly kind of just the school sort of thing. So, and in Italy, you have to have a certain amount of Italians in your team, you know, so only a certain amount of foreigners and then a certain amount of Italians. And so then you do like, which is great if there's majority of teams are Italian based. And so, but then there's a lot of younger players then. So that's kind of, they'd still be going to school quite a bit. And yeah, so it's just been like that, but it's going to change. I thought it was going to change for next season, but I think apparently it's the season after.
Right.
And they make it professional, but the clubs in general absolutely act like a professional setup.
Yeah.
So there's just the spare few that, you know, yeah, maybe like if it's one of the younger school kids, like might miss the morning session, but then they'll be able to you know, make up for it. Or they speak to the schools, so then they can, you know, only go to a certain amount of classes and then get in and then kind of, yeah, replace them on a different day. So it's still a nice system, and it's something that you'd love to see kind of, you know, in Ireland. But like some of the subjects, and it was the same in Sweden, that like football was a subject. So, and some of us on the team in Eskilstuna were actually coaching them, you know, so and grading them, you know, like more, it's more just how you participate and stuff. But they just got to go training for an hour every day, and that was a subject. And
great.
You know, and yeah, do a little kind of project about it. And it is something that was, that I just would have loved.
Yeah, I think we're a bit behind in that front, aren't we? PE at school here is...
Yeah, yeah, average. Yeah. And that thing, it wasn't even PE. It was some were doing football, some were doing ice hockey, some were doing, you know, all various different sports. And, you know, it's definitely something over here now as well.
One last one that jumped out to me, because you were talking there about studying games and watching games and obviously trying to be a student of the game. Male or female, are there defenders that you watch and try and you tend to pick stuff up from? Like, if you got certain defenders, you're like, yeah, I'd love a bit of that in my game.
Do you know what? Not like, no one really specifically.
Yeah.
I actually just watch football like every night. Like, I'm watching, I was almost even tempted last week to watch like Burnley and West Brom. Like,
oh,
I was
God's
like,
sake.
I'm just gonna watch this. Like, this is, but then something happened, so I didn't have to watch it. But
so you're one of those, you watch you're a football watcher all the way.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just, you know, especially at some games where you just kind of see one of the top teams. So, like, you know, really enjoying watching, and now I can't remember their names now off the top of my head. Like Southampton, sort of like, so like Vestergaard and I can't remember the other central defender name. He got sent off there a few weeks ago, but like I'm enjoying them. They just bring like a, they're maybe not naturally ball players, but you see them being ball players and seeing them want to play, but then you see them being like, you know, tough defenders. And yeah, like, I'm a Liverpool fan, so obviously I'd wish I could be watching Van Dijk and all that stuff, but like, just like a different class kind of stuff. But
yeah,
I'm just really, so I kind of just, I'm broadly watching all of it and really,
Interesting. Yeah, it's amazing. We talk to lots who don't, you know, they're like, oh, I need a break from it. My God, I can't be watching it all the time.
I'm almost like, I just can't wait for half time. I can't wait for the analysis. I want to hear what they. Monday Night Football is a dream for me.
The lads are like, Neville and Carragher on Monday Night Football are probably as good as it's ever been. I know we all have a special place in our hearts for the three lads with Bill, because they were amazing as well. But in terms of analysis at the moment, geez, when Carragher and Neville are breaking down a game, it's like school is on, isn't it?
Yeah. Especially then when it's like Leeds as well. I love obviously that, watching the breakdown of how Leeds are kind of approaching games. They're just, you know, they're so systematic, and it's, if you can stop them or not, and you know, they're going to be scored in the game. It's such an open ended game, like, you know, so really enjoying watching them.
Liverpool thing's been fun.
Great crack, really. Oh my God.
It's actually unbelievable.
Like, how thrilled am I that they beat Sheffield United the other day? Like, buzzing. And tonight, it's
going to
be...
Oh, yeah. So this is going to be played out the weekend. So you'll either be happy with the Chelsea game or not. So we'll see. When's the City second leg?
Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday. I think it's in the afternoon, actually, as well. But might be televised again. I'm unsure at the moment.
Okay. Very good. Well, listen, get the first goal, see what happens. I guess that's all you can do.
Absolutely.
Always great to have you on. Great to hear things are going well. Louise Quinn, as ever. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Thanks, Miljo.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. New normal, same old football. Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.